You know, a lot of times people misunderstand what prosperity is. There are a lot of people who are, we would say, prosperous. They have a lot of money. They may be millionaires or multimillionaires. Some of them are billionaires. But they really don't have the true prosperity that the Bible talks about. They don't approach it that way. But I also think there are a lot of Christians, born-again believers, who do not experience the prosperity materially, health-wise, and otherwise, because they do not follow the recipe of the Word of God. They don't follow what God says will bring real prosperity in the life of the believer. Prosperity can involve material things. It can involve money. But it also can involve a lot of different areas in our life. Joy and happiness and that type of thing. The prosperity that God wants to give us. Now I want to talk to you tonight about prosperity and the success as it comes from the wells of joy. We've been preaching a series on that. Knowing that God wants us to prosper. Did you know God wants you to prosper in the right way tonight? Yeah. We're His children. He loves us. He is our Heavenly Father, and He wants us to prosper. And spiritual happiness is part of that, and I believe material comfort is part of it. Now, let me be quick to tell you, I'm not preaching a name-it, claim-it prosperity theology tonight. And that's not what we're talking about, and I think you'll see the difference as we go along. But the fact that we don't agree with name it and claim it and you've got it and all that kind of stuff in the prosperity theology does not mean that God doesn't want to prosper us. God loves us and God wants to bless us and prosper our lives if we will follow what He has said in His Word, but not that He wants everybody to be rich or to really desire riches. That's not the goal. For instance, in 1 Timothy 6:10, don't turn there, I'm going to read a few verses before we get to our text verse. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. As a pastor, I've seen that over these 48 years, where people let money become the primary thing in their lives, and really their families and their relationship with God went down the tubes. It just got bad. And many of them wound up in trouble, financial reversal, some of them in divorce, that type thing. You know, covetousness, we know that in the Bible, is a sin. Amen? One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. And that covers a lot of territory, but that's what God says. And we shouldn't just desire riches. And usually God doesn't bless us to the point of being millionaires. Most of us, if we were millionaires, I suppose, might be tempted to be sorry and not really the Christians we ought to be. God knows all about that. God wants us to have good things, though. Psalm 84 and verse 11. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Now watch these words. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Did you get that? No good thing will He withhold from those that walk uprightly. That is, those that obey Him, those that do what He wants done. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, living for Him, doing what is right, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's a promise we have from the Word of God. Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet, David said, the psalmist, have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That should be true in the life of a Christian, that we're not to the point that we are begging bread. Now let's go to Psalm chapter 1 a second. Let's see what God's formula is for this. You're familiar with this, most of you, with Psalm 1. And we'll read verses 1 through 3 and then make some statements about those particular verses. In verse 1, Psalm chapter 1, this psalm starts off, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. Shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So God gives us a recipe. Now the word blessed there has been interpreted a lot of different ways, but one way is happy. Another way could be interpreted prosperous. Prosperous is the man that does these things. He is prospered by God. He is blessed by God. He is a happy Christian. She is a happy Christian who does that. Now, look at what a happy man does not do. Happy is the man, blessed, prosperous is the man that, number one, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You're never going to be blessed and prospered by God if you walk in the counsel of the ungodly. If you walk in the philosophy of the unsaved person, first step is you start walking around with them. You're running with them, so to speak. You're walking around with them. These three verbs that he mentions, walketh, standeth, and sitteth, and look at the progression of these things. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We don't need the counsel of the ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Doesn't mean they get in the way like somebody getting in your way in the aisle, but stands in the same direction, the same way, and is going the same way with those that are lost, those that are practicing sinners. They live that kind of lifestyle. A person like that's never going to be prospered by God. Nor, and you see the progression, they walk with them, then next thing they stop and they're standing with them, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Who are the scornful? Well, they are those who make fun of the Bible. They are those who don't believe in the Genesis account. They are those who don't believe that that Noah's Ark really existed. They don't believe that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish and all of that. And they laugh at us and they're scornful. And he says people who walk with those that are in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of the scornful, they are not going to be blessed. If they don't do it, if they will not do those things, they'll be blessed. So it's just the negative aspect of how to be blessed. So a happy man is a man that keeps out of bad company that would lead him away from the Lord. A woman that stays away from bad company, sitting with them, standing with them, walking with them, and then sitting in the seat of the scornful. So he goes back and tells us about the roots then of prosperity. Where does the prosperity come from? It doesn't come from these things. The person not going to get the blessings of God from those things. So all success that we experience depends on the favor of God, right? If you're in God's favor, then you'll be successful in the truest sense of the word, and God will bless you with what he calls true success. So how are we going to please God? We know some things that don't please God, but how are we going to please God? So we look at verse 2, and the Bible tells us how to please God. So if you want to be happy, you don't do those things. If you want to be happy, you do these. His delight, verse 2, is in the law of the Lord. Now the law of the Lord means in the Word of God. That's what he's talking about. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, a person that is going to be prosperous in the true sense of the word, even including material blessings on your life, is a person that loves the Bible, reads the Bible, lives the Bible. Not enough just to love it and read it. You've got to live it. Go by the Word of God, do what it said, and a person that meditates in the Word of God. And in his law doth he meditate, how often? Day and night. Even subconsciously you can meditate. And even if you're doing something else at night, you can meditate. And during the day you can meditate. In other words, a person that loves the Bible, spends time in the Bible, lives by the Bible, meditates on the Bible, thinks about the Bible all the time, that person is a person that's likely to have the prosperity and the blessings of God on their life, not only physically and emotionally in other ways, but I think materially too. That is part of it. God will bless us. Many who prosper materially, and you know some of them, probably you've met them, are miserable people. They're wealthy, but they're miserable. You say, well, I know some that are not too miserable. You really don't know their hearts. They probably don't have the peace in their heart if they're not saved, they don't. I do know a few people that are rich, that are saved, and they're happy people, but it's because they're saved, and they'll tell you it's not because of their money. They're saved because they know the Lord that they're happy people, and they handle money a whole lot differently than many people would that would have that. Very, very giving people usually if they are born again and saved people. But many who prosper materially are people that we know who are miserable in their lives. They're not happy. They're never satisfied. They don't have the peace of God in their lives. You see, money should be less important in our life than our spiritual welfare. Our spiritual welfare should be the most important thing. And that is true prosperity, our spiritual welfare. When we're healthy spiritually, then we are more than likely going to prosper in other ways. And God will give us His true prosperity. That is when we're in harmony with the will of God. Our delight is in the Word. We go by the Word. We live by the Word. Our harmony is in the will of God. And that's true prosperity. And then from that comes, I believe, material prosperity, money, and we compare that sometimes, though, with eternal values. They're greater. And we don't just have bread and meat, but thank God we have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, and faith in our lives. Those are very great things of great prosperity that money would never buy. It cannot buy those things, but God can give them to us. And so He says, this is the way to do it. This is step one. His delight, your delight, is in the law of the Lord, the Word of God. We meditate on it, on the Word of God day and night. Now look at verse 3, Psalm 1:3. He says, and he shall be like a tree. If we do that, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also will not wither. The leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Well, what in the world is he talking about? Well, I think we have some good examples of it. You take a flower, for instance. They can be out in the yard, beautiful, beautiful flower. But you cut that flower, take it in, put it in a vase. It's beautiful for just a little while, isn't it? Then all of a sudden it fades away, and we throw them away and throw them in the garbage can. And so that's what he's talking about when he's talking about temporary prosperity that people have. And it's sort of like the fact that the roots of man only goes into the world, and then they are cut off from all that God has, and that prosperity is a temporary prosperity. I don't care if they're billionaires, if they die lost, their prosperity has been a temporary prosperity. It's not an eternal prosperity. But the happy man, he says, gets his roots way down in the subsoil of God's Word. Gets in the Word. Gets your roots way down in the Word of God. And that's important. You go out further west, and you see it even around here, so you don't have to go too far. But when you look and you see a tree line running out through what is otherwise very barren, what do you usually think is there? A stream. A creek, some kind of water source. And that's what he's saying. That's what the Word of God is to us. It's like a water source. And we're by this river of water, and we get our roots down in that so we can be prospered by God. Many people who are prosperous lose money, and they fail in many different ways. But if you and I have this relationship with God, doesn't matter what we face, we're not going to be losers. We're going to be winners in the things of God. Many people who are wealthy many times fail. And sometimes the stock market can crash, all of those things. I remember a dear lady I led to the Lord in her 80s in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And we were talking. She told me the story about her husband. I've shared this, I think, maybe once here in the last few years. But this dear lady's husband was very wealthy. They had a beach house down in Florida. And the stock market crashed, and he sent his wife and her friend on down to Florida to their beachfront house. And they were waiting on him to get there, but he didn't show up. They found out he lived in Chicago. He was had a lot of money in real estate, lost a lot of that and a lot of his investments, and he gassed himself to death. He never showed up there. He had prosperity, but he didn't have God's kind of prosperity. And if he had had what God had had for him, if he'd been a Christian in the Word of God, studying the Word of God, and let the Word of God, got his roots down in the Word of God, he wouldn't have done that. He would have accepted Romans 8:28 and gone on about his way and served the Lord. So it comes that way. And so many can't stand those things. A lot of people can't stand wealth or poverty, either one. If they're in poverty, it's a mess. If they have wealth, it's a mess. But God has a better plan for all of us. And so he's talking about the unhappy failures as being leaves that would wither. If we are doing what God says and we're in the Word of God, then he talks about being fruitful, and this is part of it. And this is a person who is going to wither away is not a person who delights in the Bible. So prosperity is really being in touch with God. And that's how we get the prosperity in our lives that we get. So he talks about the fruitful Christian. Well, what does a fruitful Christian do? Well, he gets his roots down in the Word of God. For instance, I believe that it's very possible, and I believe this to be true, and other biblical writers, I think, believe it to be true, those of our brand, those of our type, that people who are not rooted in the Word of God will not be successful soul winners. If they're not rooted in the Word of God, if they're not doing right by the Bible, you can figure they're not going to win souls to the Lord. They're not going to be prosperous in the area of soul winning. Now, soul winning, witnessing, does not depend on education. Witnessing does not depend on your training so much. It doesn't depend on you having a lot of natural gifts and personality and all those things. There are a lot of people who have all that and don't witness to anybody, but it isn't that anyway. Even if you have some kind of concern in it, you can't bring forth fruit out of self. It's not going to happen. You cannot bring forth fruit out of yourself. You have to be deep in the Word of God, rooted in the Word of God, get your strength from the Word of God, power from the Holy Spirit of God in order to bear fruit. Reach way down. He's saying, you're like a tree planted by the rivers of water, the Word of God that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. D.L. Moody, most of us would know that name, was not a scholar. D.L. Moody was very limited in his education. He really was. And yet he was one of the greatest Bible preachers and soul winners that ever lived, simply because he loved this book. And he spent so much time in this book till he was a tremendous preacher of the Word of God and a great soul winner, because his roots were way down in the Bible and he got his strength to do what he did through that. And then we see the Christian's leaf is the leaf that should not wither, as he mentions that in the middle part of that verse. He says, his leaf also shall not wither. Well, think about what he's talking about. The leaf won't wither. We think about leaves, especially this time of the year, but leaves are important. They carry on what we would call the process of nature. They're part of it, of relationship to the sun and all of that. And so the trees that have leaves make a shade, many times for the birds, sometimes for animals, sometimes for human beings. They're important. They're pretty. They're nice to the eyes. You don't see many leaves in Texas, in most places, like you do in some of the other states. I love to go where there are a lot of trees and a lot of leaves, and they are very pleasant. We were in Indiana recently and saw a lot of trees and a lot of leaves, and I'm not knocking Texas. I'm a Texan by 4 months, and I'm not knocking Texas, but I'm just simply saying most of us like leaves. I love to go up north to Indiana, not Ohio, but Indiana and Ohio, and see the leaves turn about this time of the year. Some of our people are getting ready to make some trips and go up there. I love to see the beauty and the color of the leaves. And you go down the Blue Ridge Parkway and just drive slowly down through there, and some of the scenes you'll see are just absolutely breathtaking. They're magnanimous and beautiful, all of that. But we delight in the leaves to the eyes. And what he's talking about here is they're strong trees, and their leaves are on the trees, and they're producing the leaves, and they don't wither. It's a sign and symbol of a happy Christian life, a joyful Christian, not a morbid, bored, backslidden, negative, add whatever you want to it, Christian, but it's somebody who is having the thrill of their life. They're happy, they're saved, they love the Lord, they love to sing, they love to serve, they love to do the things of God, because they're planted in the Word of God. They're planted by the source that gives them that strength. And so it's a happy Christian. Now, our leaves are not going to wither if we do what God says. One of my sins, I'm going to confess something tonight. My wife looks nervous. Not really. But one of my sins as a preacher, and it's a sin of a lot of preachers, is sometimes we, if we're not careful, lose the joy of the ministry. We lose the joy. We study. We get in a mold and in a habit, and we study as a preacher, and we don't do a lot of studying just as a Christian. We study for messages. We study for homiletical benefit and outlines and all of that. But sometimes God has to get a hold of my attention and say, you need to get back, just get in the Word and stay in the Word and spend time alone with me. Solomon, the Song of Solomon said, they made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. And sometimes that's the way preachers are, but we have to do that. And if I feel the joy slipping away, I know I've just got to get more time alone with God, not just preparing messages and studying for messages, but in prayer and meditation and talking to the Lord. And just sort of a new abandon, a fresh abandon to the Word of God. And that wouldn't hurt all of us to be like that. And that gives me a freshness in the ministry. And it will you too in your service. And so he says here, in his law doth he meditate day and night. Let's go back to that. In the Word he meditates day and night. Well, a lot of people do a lot of things all night long, you know. There's some people who go to these gambling places, they gamble all night long. All night long. They go out on some of these cruises and they'll be gambling and down at the casinos on the cruise ship all night long. You say, how do you know that? Because somebody told me. But anyway, all night long. And I've had to go through those one time. I had to go through them to find some teenagers, our grandkids that were with us, and they were gambling. Not the grandkids, but the people that we went through were gambling all night long. And there are others that party all night long. They party hardy all night long. They dance all night long. They drink all night long. They, for the pleasure it gives them, go all night long. I wonder why sometimes we can't read the Bible all night long. Have you ever done that? Read the Word all night long. You'd be surprised. It could really be a blessing to you. Say, I'd fall asleep. You'll wake up and read a little more. But read it sometimes. I mean, it wouldn't hurt us to do that, to read the Word of God all night long. But in his law doth he meditate day and night. I think it's a fixed thing in our mind. And even in your subconscious, when you're asleep, you're somehow, those things have to deal with your mind. And the worst thing you can probably do is listen to Fox News at 10 o'clock at night or the local news and get all depressed, and that comes back up during the rest of the time. Best thing, if you're going to watch it, go back and get the Word of God and read a psalm and then go to sleep. And maybe the last thing you do will come back subconsciously. It's all, but read the Bible, study the Bible. And he says, whatsoever that person does shall do what? Prosper. Get rooted, get in the Word of God, meditate in it day and night. Simple stuff from the Word of God. And God meant what he said. And he said, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And watch this now. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You believe God meant what he said? So whatsoever means what? Whatsoever. Whatsoever he doeth. Now a lot of people will brag, and they should say it's a hundred, when they'll say it's a thousand, and all kinds of things. But God never fudges on what he says, and God never in any way overemphasizes it. God says what he means what he says, and he said, his leaf also shall not wither. That's a promise. And he's talking about whatsoever he doeth shall do what? Prosper. I just believe what God said. And he meant what he said, and God will prosper us if we'll do these things, not run around and do those things that are evil, not be with that crowd, but get planted by the rivers of the water of life, which is symbolic, I think, of the Word of God, which he's talking about. Meditate in it day and night. And then you don't have to worry about your rent. Then you don't have to worry so much about your groceries. Then you don't have to worry so much about friends. Then you don't have to worry so much about your clothes. Then you don't have to worry so much about your health. As God wants you to have it, God will give it to you if you'll just do what he says. The reason some folks don't have it in the prosperity, in the blessings of God, is because they're not doing what God says. They're with the wrong crowd, doing the wrong things, or they're just not doing the right things like God tells us to do. So the Bible is going to lead us, and we need to meditate and do that. We need to learn to meditate on the Word of God. You know, a lot of time is wasted in our lives, honestly. A lot of times on, if we compared how much time we spend reading a newspaper. A lot of people, most people don't read a newspaper anymore. There are a few that do, and they like it, and they prefer that. Most people go to the internet and they get the news off the internet. We spend a lot of time reading the newspaper, all the stuff in that. A lot of time reading Facebook, looking at Facebook. A lot of times emails. A lot of times television. And if we'd compare all of the time we spend on all of those things and a lot of other things, and the time we spend with God's Word, we would be very, very anemic in comparison. I'm just saying, God says, there it is. And that's repeated in other places in the Bible. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Here's what Joshua said. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest, what? Prosper. Whithersoever thou goest. I believe God meant whithersoever too. Just like he meant whatsoever, he means whithersoever, that thou would prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That's important. For that, then, when you do what God says, meditate, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. You want good success? You want prosperity in all these different ways? Even material prosperity? Then you go to the Word of God and do what God says, and that is prosperity in the truest sense of the word. And then Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, is a great recipe for getting that done. And I hope and I believe that you want to be prosperous, and God, you want God to prosper you. I can't think of anybody who would want to think otherwise, materially, health, family, all of these different areas. But the way to do it is stay in this book, spend time, meditate. When we do it and then obey it, live right, then God is bound to keep His word, and He will prosper you, and He will prosper me. And I'm standing here to tell you tonight, He has prospered me in a lot of different ways. A lot of different ways. And I have never, I've never missed a meal that I needed. And God has blessed in all of these different ways. And I can testify, not because I deserve it, not because I've done it always like I always should, but overall the principle of the Word of God over time, doing what He says, I can tell you, and you know it too, many of you can testify, God does it that way. But sometimes, we just sort of get a little sidetracked, get away, don't meditate on the Word of God like we should, and we'll begin to lose that edge, that prosperity, and our roots are not where they belong. We're not drawing from the water like we should, and our leaves begin to wilt a little bit, and when that happens, the fruit is not produced. So let's stick by the river, amen? Let's stand, please.